Spirit Radio Podcasts.
They came in this from Ireland, is what a Spanish man asked in disbelief as he looked at the boat that my next guest had made with three other men. And they took it on an extraordinary journey following an ancient route that links Celtic traditions along the Atlantic coast. I think they had one rule: no money, no beds. Well, those men were Danny Sheehy, a writer, Glenn Hansard, a well-known musician, Liam Holden, an artist, and Brendan Begley, also a musician as well. So what were all these four creative types doing in a man-made boat going around the Atlantic? Well, we're going to find out why and what they learned as I have Brendan Begley on the phone. Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Well, the first question is, what on earth possessed all four of you to think about going across the Atlantic to undertake this journey?
Well, it wasn't exactly across the Atlantic, but a small bit towards it, I suppose. Well, we were born and raised with Nivoga in Kerry. They're called Nivoga. In Connacht, they're called Corach. A Corach is a three-handed, but a Nivoga is a four-handed, and a Corach is a straight back, and a Nivoga is almost half moon. And we were all raised with Nivogas, fishing and etc. And we had gone from Danny Sheehy about 35 years ago, went all the way around Ireland in one with a friend of his, and we had done kind of voyages in yachts up to Iceland and stuff like this. And in 2007 we started it, the Colum Hill from Sligo to Rathlin to Iona, and we finished that in 2012. And another time we went down the River Nore and all the way down to Brandon Creek in the space of 3.5 weeks. And around 2013, I was over in Santiago, and I decided to have a look at this Camino thing. So when I arrived in Santiago, I said the best way to do it was the wrong way. So I walked towards France instead of Santiago. And I had a look at the seas, and I mean, they were basically the same as we have off the west coast of Ireland. So I mentioned to Danny, and Danny researched it, and Danny found out that there was an ancient route where they would go from Dingle to St. James's in sailing boats, and then walk all the way to Santiago. And there were only two major seas. That was the Irish Sea and Muirnoght, the English Channel. And we had Paddy Barry, the great sailor, in his boat, Chacron, the sport boat, for the first year. And then we didn't need it the 2015 and 2016, because we just hugged the coast all the time. Came ashore every night, got a green patch, threw up the tent, cooked, and just went around the town and headed away at 6 o'clock the following morning.
2,500 kilometres. I mean, how long did it actually take? And what were some of the experiences you had along the way, Brendan?
Well, I suppose every emotion that you could imagine, you go through them. You'd ask yourself, what's the name of the jizz am I doing out here? And the fella in front of you could be annoying you, and or you could be annoying the fella behind you. And we just took it out in the oars. It was just so beautiful being that close to the coast. You were seeing it for the first time, and you knew it was the last time that you were going to see it so up close. So you came into a new little town every afternoon. We tried to be in before the evening, because sometimes, especially in the Cantabrian Sea, they get these storms around midday. We were told if it gets very calm and very warm, head for the coast, because they get these lightning flashes. We used to be out around 6:30 every morning, and we tried to be in by 1 or 2. But to come into a new town, and if you come ashore in a yacht, nobody takes any notice of you. But you come ashore in a traditional Irish craft, just straight away it opens doors to you, and like-minded people will come and have a look at the boat, and you get talking to them. We met so many interesting people, really so many interesting people. And you felt, when we were in Asturias, this man... he was a historian, and he said it was written in the annals of Asturias that people from Asturias in the year 20 BC, rowed to Ireland in skin boats. And, okay, our boat is not skin, but it used to be skin. It's canvas. So you felt that the Niobogue had been there before, and you were just bringing it back to where it had been. And if you read a book by Bob Quinn, The Atlantean Irish, unknown to ourselves, we were proving his theory that the Celts didn't really come from the east, that they came from northern Africa and places. Because I live in a place called Parish of Moore, Croce de Moore, and the Moors came from Morocco. So in our own way, we were kind of proving his theory that the Celts came up along the coast there and went as far as Cornwall, etc., etc. So it really had everything. It had history, it had adventure. When you'd be out, say, rowing against a hard wind, one day we were rowing out against a hard wind for 9 hours, non-stop. We rowed 20 miles against the wind.
How do you push through that?
Well, you just do. We had an engine for emergencies, and it was Brandon Ford O'Mittertig that was with us for the first 2 years, and then when he told me in 2016 that he couldn't make it only for 1 week, and I happened to be sitting beside Glenn Hansard, and I asked him, for the crack, did he want to go on a boat trip?
Did you think he'd say yes?
He said yes. As I said there were a few times when he was out there, he wished he said no.
One of the lines, Brandon, when I was looking at just the trailer for this film, is it says, you learn something about yourself that might otherwise take a lifetime to learn. What did you learn about yourself?
You teach yourself patience anyway. Mm. If somebody is if there's something bothering you, you have to keep plowing ahead. Just going back to the day when we had the 9 hours against the wind, Glenn was kind of giving out to us. He says, I mean, we have an engine. I don't understand this. And when we came ashore, I was trying to tell him that the boat was the engine and we were the four pistons pushing it. And I said that we have an engine for emergency and fatigue is not an emergency. So I think it strengthened me to no end, mentally and physically.
What did it feel like when you finally got to Santiago de Compostela?
It was just wonderful. It was wonderful. You see, when you started off the first couple of days, you were weak, but after a couple of weeks of it, it was like you were getting stronger. It was almost rowing back the years. You felt that you were getting stronger, and not for the want of a better word, younger, I suppose. You felt like you were in your 30s and your 20s. And if I learned anything from it, there's too much talk about, I'm old, I can't do this. Fitness and age are two different things. You can be very fit at the age of 90, and you can be very unfit at the age of 19. So just get up and do it. And we did it not as a physical thing, but we were just doing what we really loved doing. It had everything. We really had. It had the last time we had Danny Sheehy and Brandon, myself, and we spoke Irish. The Imogen speaks English. We had Glenn there bringing this culture from Ballymun and from the international stage. Rowing with Danny was like bringing Coccolini with you, because he knew every blade of grass in West Kerry and a name for it.
And it must be sad now. I mean, you're talking about with joy, obviously, the feeling of reaching Santiago. But it tinged with sadness as well, because not all four of you are going to be around to celebrate the release of the film.
Well, I spent the best 10 years at sea with Danny and the worst day. And I've watched it twice, and it's what was a dream turned into a nightmare. And it's I'm not looking forward to it. I mean, I should have been looking forward to it big time, and I am looking forward to, in a way, to seeing it on the big screen. But I'm not looking forward to seeing it in many ways. Danny was supposed to be there, and I think it's a very sad film now.
When you look back on I suppose, your memories with him. Finally, just to ask you, Brandon, you didn't take any money? Was that one of the rules? How did you survive?
Oh, well, that was a bit of a an impossibility. We didn't pay for accommodation, and we cooked most of the time at the pier, so it cost very little to do. It was a really dream trip, and most days, they could say 80% of the days, they were just dream voyages. We had a sail. You couldn't tack with it. You had to, if the wind was going where you were going, well, there we are. Sometimes we did up to 9 knots, and you'd be sitting back there smoothly going along a new coast, beautiful weather, beautiful scenery, just making sandwiches, having cups of tea, and then just coming ashore to a new town, maybe taking out the instruments. And it really had everything. It had challenge, it had adventure, discovery, history. There was nothing new being created, really. We were just tracing tracks that were already there. It was the most special thing I have ever done. And even Glenn, to this day, he maintains that the best thing he has ever done in his life.
Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your journey. And we're looking forward to seeing the film, Brendan. Thank you so much for joining us on Spirit Radio this morning.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.